episode of Rule of Three, where we got the podcast. Oh, I think I'm going to start that again. I got a little mush mouth there. Let me start that at 20 seconds here. And welcome to the latest episode of the Rule of Three with Brian Miller here. And on the other side of the mic, my pal Tim Slagle.
Hey.
It's the podcast where we've got two comics doing three topics, 10 minutes each. It's the podcast for your modern lifestyle. We're going to be talking a little bit about Halloween later and a weird story about sexual assault in virtual reality. You're going to be interested in this one. But first, I got a tale of comedy, true tales of comedy. I did a college gig for some real nice kids, the CFACT group. It's the, you know, kind of conservative student group at the U of M campus.
That's so funny. That's so funny how you're doing that stuff now.
Yeah, well, they're real nice kids, you know. And they, I tell them, I'm like, you know, I'm not really that political, and I'm pretty moderate to left. And they say, yeah, that's fine, come on in. And did the show, I will say. So this sort of spoils the story in a smidge, but did the show and it went great. Had a lot of fun.
You know what I think it is. I think what their motivation is is that they just want to put on an event that gets kids to come in. So that basically they can serve the kids pizza and they can meet the conservative kids and they go, wow, we thought you're going to have like hoods and hanging effigies and stuff like that. It's you guys are just normal kids.
And I think that's exactly how it is. And in fact, they did have pizza. I did the show last year, and it was mostly last year. It was really more of like a club event. You know, it was like, I think anybody could come, but it was pretty much only advertised within their club. This year, the show was a little bit bigger. Anybody could come, and they kind of advertised it a little more broadly. And so they had posters up. So I got an email early last week from somebody saying that they, it was forwarded to me from the University of Minnesota Student Bias Response Team, saying that a complaint had been lodged with my name in it.
A student bias response team?
I know. Doesn't it sound like people are going to like rappel from the ceiling on wires and kick through your windows and make you be more open-minded or something? That's kind of what I picture. So the opening letter line, which turns out to be very important, is the climate on this campus has become ridiculous lately with the blatant hate speech on the Washington Avenue Bridge posted by the UMN College Republicans, which is a reference to a pro-Trump build the wall sign that the College Republicans put up that some people got mad at.
Wow, that's hate.
Yeah, so then it goes along.
Building a wall is hate.
Well, building a wall to keep specific people out has hateful connotations, potentially, but...
Well, yeah, specific... Every wall is to keep specific people out.
I suppose that's true. And I do... Put it this way. I do think build the wall has a bit of anti-immigrant-coded kind of language to it, but also you're... I mean, to say that that is hate speech is... bit of a stretch.
Yeah, a border is not hate. Okay, I mean every border is put up to keep people that aren't supposed to cross it on the side they're not supposed to cross.
True enough. So the letter goes on. I'm not going to read the whole letter because it's really long and it's full of saying the event is improper and commits, you know, all, you know, camp bad environment, you know, whatever. So here's the important part. I googled the routine that the headliner. I can't believe this guy even has a job. Way too offensive. And I saw some problematic things in his routine. First off, it is littered with sexism and rape culture. He talks about trying to have his wife do laundry while wearing a sexy nurse costume. Which, if you've ever heard me do that, I know you have. If anyone's heard me do that joke, I'm wearing the nurse costume in the joke, which is the joke. Then I feel like we aren't in the 1960s anymore with gender roles. There are plenty of women here who could be triggered by the thought of living a life of domestic work. Animal rights activism is mocked, as well as child labor. There are plenty of students here of East Asian descent who do not need to be reminded of how capitalism has exploited their way of life.
How do you do that?
That was my buying olives at the co-op. No Malaysian kids are harmed in the making of these olives. Which, hilariously, I picked Malaysia because I picked a country that definitely doesn't grow olives. I literally picked it for that reason. Because I wanted no one to be able to complain to me that I was actually trashing an immigrant group or whatever. So I picked somebody that doesn't make olives.
Malaysians.
I picked a group that nobody's mad about.
The Malaysians are maligned. That's why they're called Malaysians.
Malign Malaysians. So I get this letter. I'm like, oh, gosh. And so I'm contacting the guy and going back and forth. And I'm just a little stressed about it because they're kind of trying to court controversy with the show a little bit. They called it the Get Kicked Off Campus comedy show. So I'm like, okay, they're trying to court controversy and somebody's taking the bait. And, you know, I'm kind of being used as a pawn inadvertently and not inadvertently by the person writing the letter. So I'm talking to the organizer and I'm just sort of stressing about the whole thing. Well, then a little wrinkle, a little Halloween Twilight Zone twist comes into play. The letter was written by a conservative.
Oh.
This was some James O'Keefe COINTELPRO stuff where the guy who made the Build the Wall sign, apparently, or a guy who was involved in the Build the Wall sign, who was mad, and he was trying to troll the campus bias response team or sort of like make some sort of point about how they overreact to stuff.
Right.
So he wrote what he thought is the kind of letter somebody would write.
Uh-huh.
But he included my name and officially submitted it to the campus bias response team.
That's funny. And did,
yeah, it's funny for not me.
Did they repel and kick in the windows and...
No, apparently they looked into the matter and then they didn't get – I mean I never talked to the campus bias response team.
Throw up the net of safe space?
Yeah, but I mean here's the thing though. He's trying to bait them into doing something that they didn't do.
Right.
I think they were mad that they didn't create the controversy. This guy was mad that they didn't create the controversy that he wanted them to create, I think.
Right.
You know? Which to me is like, well, it's like he was basically trying to prove his point, even if he was going to have to help the point along, let's say.
Maybe. Or maybe he was just pulling a prank.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. I would very much appreciate it if people in the future, by pulling pranks, didn't casually use me as a pawn and officially complain to me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I can see your point.
Because ultimately, the prank is on me, not the bias response team. Prank's on me. This ruined my Thursday and Friday. I mean, because I didn't want to cancel the gig based on some stupid. Because you know, here's my concern: I don't want to cancel the gig based on some ninny. That's obnoxious. But the flip side is, I don't want the university newspaper coming out and writing an article where it doesn't matter what I say and what my material's like. If they write an article and someone says, I think Brian Miller promotes rape culture, and that goes online, I never work at college again.
Oh my gosh, yeah, you're right.
And then that article would live online forever.
Right.
And you know how it is. I could get up there and do, oh gosh, I could get up there and do, I'm trying to think of the safest, friendliest comedian in the world. I could get up there and do Brian Regan's act. And
you pretty much do.
Oh, I wish I did.
You know,
Brian Regan's the best.
You know what I
lot.
Mean, though. You're kind of on the same. You're kind of on the same harmlessness scale.
Yeah, I'm not a super edgy comic. That's not really my thing. I'm a little dark, but that's about it.
Uh-huh.
But my thought was, you know, in those instances, if I went up and did Brian Regan's act, it doesn't matter how clean the thing is. If there's the contra temp or if there's the riposte that someone is endorsing rape culture, it's always going to fall on the side of, well, he probably did something, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and what happens is once it gets locked into the Google, there's a comic in Chicago that if you type his name into Google, the first search that comes up when that drop down menu appears is sex offender.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Okay. It's a John Smith sex offender.
Yep.
You type in John Smith, it says John Smith sex offender.
And, yep.
And that's exactly what would happen is you would type in Brian Miller, would say Brian Miller rape culture.
Yes.
And you are correct.
I was in like a tizzy for like 36 hours trying to like, because I was really caught. It was a real moral conundrum for me because I definitely didn't want to back down to what I perceived to be a real BS threat, you know, before I knew it was literally BS. But man.
It falls under the category, are you familiar with Poe's Law?
No.
It's one of those internet rules, mm-hmm. like Godwin's Law.
Right.
Is Poe's Law... is that when satire becomes so – I think it's when satire is attacking something that is so extremist,
mm-hmm.
is that it becomes impossible to detect whether it's satire.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, that's interesting.
And that's exactly what happened with that letter. I mean, it was so over-the-top satirical that it seemed real.
Yeah, and I felt a little dumb for thinking it was real, but then, I mean, people do, there are some real ninnies out there.
Yeah.
You know, no. I think we've all seen examples of stuff where you'd be like, it's almost as extreme as that, but it was real.
And that is, that's Poe's rule, and there's one rule in the rule of three.
And that's what we're done. See you back in the next segment. Down in Cali's town, there's always a party or a job or a girl to hold you down in Cali's town. You know you're gonna miss it, but some back for second two of the rule of three, here with Tim Slagle. I'm Brian Miller, and we're gonna talk some Halloween here in a minute. But first, interesting intersection, a new, totally new technological phenomenon here. There's a woman named Jordan Bellemere, an American lady, I believe.
Sure, it's a woman?
Yes. Okay. I am sure it's a woman. But I see what you mean. Jordan is a...
That's one of those names. It's one of those names that needs the pronoun button.
Yes, absolutely. So Jordan Bellemere says that she was sexually assaulted while using virtual reality. She was playing a zombie shooting game with strangers in a multiplayer mode when another player began to virtually rub her chest. She says they're talking.
He virtually rubbed my chest.
He virtually rubbed my, yes. not he almost, but he actually did in virtual reality.
Wouldn't she have to have some kind of a hardware attached in order for that to occur?
Oh, no, she can't feel it. No, that's what's interesting, right? I think that's what's interesting about the story is so they're talking on, you know, they have like microphones and they talk to each other while they play the games, I guess. So another user, BigBro442, had apparently caught on that she was a woman because her mic was on and her voice was streaming. She said, "Would you stop that? He chased me around making grabbing and pinching motions near my chest." Emboldened, he even shoved his hand toward my virtual crotch and began rubbing.
Should I be laughing at this? I don't know.
Well, it's funny. I go both ways, and because there's part of you that goes like, well, I mean, obviously there is a real world of difference between someone actually grabbing your chest and somebody virtually grabbing your chest. I mean, kids have been making video game characters look like they're having sex for a long time. You know, yeah, that's sure. A kind of classic. But sure. Then you also
I'm going to go off on a little bit of a tangent here. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things that I thought was most remarkable about Team America.
Oh, the puppet sex, yeah.
Yeah. That it did not occur till about 30 minutes into the film, and it only lasted about 5 minutes of the film. Mm-hmm. Because anybody who is given two puppets and are told to make those puppets interact, I guarantee any normal human above the age of 12 will have those puppets doing something dirty within 5 minutes.
That's Slagle's law. you got to get on that copyright.
The fact that the South Park guys could go 20 minutes before succumbing to that urge was remarkable.
Real restraint on their part.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what's interesting about this is that, like, it is different than having the dolls have sex or whatever, because now the nature of virtual reality is it is supposed to be an immersive experience that makes you feel like you're there.
Right. But and here's the question, too, and this is not – it's right now it's just a pair of goggles.
Right.
So what happens if you actually attach certain peripherals –
yeah.
Does that so that you actually feel when someone grabs your chest? Is putting on that peripheral consent?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. You're also making the argument that you're also getting chased and shot at. You're choosing to be chased and shot at, so you're participating in several. You're willingly participating as the victim of several crimes when you start the game.
Yeah.
You know? No, that's an interesting question. And then, of course, the flip side, like I said, it is different than just, you know, rubbing dolls together or the game, because the whole point of virtual reality is to make you feel like you're there. So then having somebody do something weird to you is different. I don't know where I fall on this. And then, of course, there's also the other sort of separate argument of like, How could anybody be getting any? Why is that fun for the douchebag dude who's pretending to virtually rub the crotch of an avatar of a thing?
Well, does here's the thing? Does he have gloves on? How does the game know what he's doing?
I don't think there's any sensation based. I think this is totally a
no. I didn't say it was sensation based, but he started making a grabbing motion towards her chest.
I assume you control the character's arms because you shoot and punch and stuff. So I'm sure you can probably pick stuff up. So I'm guessing, if I had to guess, he'd say he essentially tried to like pick up her crotch or pick up her chest.
Oh, okay.
I'm kind of surmising from the way they phrase it about the game.
Right. And you know, he probably – my guess is he probably didn't – so she was her character, her avatar was a woman.
I don't know that. It does not say. He knew she was a woman because he could hear her voice, but I don't know if the avatar was gendered.
Okay. Because he was probably so what he was probably doing is he probably actually saw his character doing that to the avatar.
Yes.
All she probably saw were the hands, but I mean he probably actually. That's interesting.
Right, and it simultaneously does have that, like, oh, who cares? But also, that's kind of the opinion people had on Twitter and social media at first. Like, oh, there's some trolls, there's some weird guys, get over it. And it turns out that those kind of guys can really do some damage there and really prohibit people from even being on those sites.
Yeah, and you know, my guess is, too, mm-hmm. when he has not been engaging in group play, when he's actually just been doing solo play...
Mm-hmm.
He is probably knowing the molest sequence. He has probably toyed with the molest sequence in the past.
Yeah, I mean, anybody who would do something that dumb is clearly, you know, he's also the same guy on Twitter, like, saying crap to Leslie Jones and, you know.
Well, no, I was actually thinking something a little more harmless, is that he's probably felt up Laura Croft.
Oh, yeah.
Is that it was fun? It's like his buddies. He's probably been doing it for his buddies for years. It's, yeah, look at this. Left, up, A button, you know, fire. Look what happens.
When you, in the game GoldenEye, which is my friends and I's favorite game back in high school, you could duck and run while you ducked. And they were almost all male characters. And so it was always a gag. Like, if somebody'd shoot you, you'd be like, I apologize. And you'd duck down and then you'd put your face on their crotch. It was always like, yeah.
Exactly.
This sort of thing has been going on kind of in various ways for a while.
So I don't know if the kid was as much of a douche as you said before, or just a kid. That just said, you know, it's look, I'm hitting the duck button right on her crotch. And then she's like,
right. But I'm telling you, I think here we are seeing the dawn of a new complicated phenomenon, because even if that was just some goofy kid, there's going to be more of this type of stuff. And I don't know how one will go about deciding what to do. Twitter is tricky with that too, in terms of like, I see why Twitter has had a problem kind of determining what constitutes harassing speech. You know, it's tricky. Because some of it is pretty blatant, and then some of it's like, well, I mean, you can say that.
Well, I know we probably differ on this. I am of the mind that all speech is acceptable. Is that I don't care if it offends, I don't care if people feel attacked, I don't care if they feel whatever. Is it speech? Is speech? Is that it's absolutely harmless?
I don't think speech is absolutely harmless. I think Twitter has the right to say what. I think Twitter has the right to dictate.
It's a private service. They can. Yeah. They can. You know.
But I mean, it does. If you let the trolls run unhinged, it does make Twitter almost unusable.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely on your side, which
is the same reason is that, you know, if you're at a Chuck E. Cheese's, it doesn't matter if you're an adult drinking beer, playing a video game, you're not allowed to express outrage.
Yes.
when you just lost your last life.
Yeah, it's a whole new, way more intense version of this, because now it's not speech, it's like physical action, but then. It's tricky for the virtual reality people, because if they say, oh, it's not a physical action, it's just a game, but their whole game is based on the idea that it totally seems like a real physical action.
Right.
Like, that's the rub, as it were. I did not mean to make that pun until the end, but then I was kind of happy with it.
Yeah. Well, it's another rule is always good to end on a pun.
Slagle's second law.
Segment of the Rule of Three. Brian Miller on the other side.
Hello.
And he's in Minnesota. I'm in Chicago. But there's something that connects us both, and that less than a week away is Halloween.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's that we're both drunk.
Well, actually, at the time of day, it's we're on the hangover.
Yes, yes, yes.
We're on the
even
hangover
you and I are
side
sober
of the military clock
at this time of the day. Yes.
So no, we got Halloween coming up in a week.
I'm stoked. You know, it's we've talked about this a little bit. I believe it's both of our favorite holidays. Correct?
No, just yours.
Just mine.
I'm still a Christmas guy.
It's I go back and forth. Like, I'll say Halloween's my favorite now, but then when Christmas comes up, I'm real into that too. But they're one and two, and I don't know what third is, but it is a very distant third.
I think what I have said is that Halloween is probably the most powerful of all pagan holidays. Whereas all the other pagan holidays, the Christian tradition has been able to supplant the original pagan holiday. However, no, the All Saints Day, which was the attempt to supplant Halloween, it failed miserably.
Yeah, All Saints Day just sounds like such a boring. The problem was they did. You know, Christmas was like, we'll take your winter festival and we'll give you a savior and a guy who brings you presents. It's like, oh, okay, that's cool. And All Saints Day is like, we'll take away Halloween and we'll give you dinner with your family. No.
There was an attempt when I was going to Catholic school. There was an attempt to you could dress up, but you had to pick a saint.
God, that's boring.
Well, no, we had a lot of Saint Sebastians.
What happened to him?
He was shot with arrows.
Okay, I was going to say, because the good thing is a lot of bad, terrible stuff happened to those saints, so you could actually go pretty gory with the saint costume.
Yeah, I mean, if you really, really wanted to.
You could outdo The Walking Dead, you know? He's like, I'm the guy who got raped by a hot poker. You're like, oh, Jesus.
So, anyway, I was, speaking of costumes, I was shopping for prizes. We did bingo at the debate show,
right,
at Zany's, and I wanted to get some prizes. And I thought what would be really funny would be to get masks of the candidate.
Yeah.
And I got what looked like a Donald Trump mask, but it actually did not say Donald Trump.
Perfect. What did it say?
Billionaire Halloween mask. A billionaire
nice.
Mask.
They always do that stuff because they always, like, you know, they can't put the names on it, so it's always the mask
of
the person.
Well, what cracked me up, because it, you know, because it looked rubber and it looked like skin, is I actually held it up and I said, tonight's prize is brought to you by the God of Many Faces.
Nice.
And I go, look, it's because it's made in China. It's a billionaire mask. The candidate has no name.
I'm surprised it wasn't super orange yellow politician or something like that.
Yeah, that's the actual literal Chinese translation. But what occurred to me when I was there is that the there were no Hillary masks. It kind of seemed unusual to me that they would only have – they had Obama masks, which I – I probably left over because nobody really wanted to wear one of those because it's vaguely racist.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you're like, boy, I hope you're a black guy who's also wearing that mask. If you're a black guy and you wear that mask, I'm fine with it. But if you're not, a little tricky.
So I don't know if there's actually a bias between the people who decide what the latex masks are going to be, or is it just that it's easier to mold someone's hair into it when it's a man's haircut?
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Because with Hillary, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about it. If you wanted to go as Hillary, you don't really need a mask. You need the wig. You know what I mean? Like I think if a woman goes as Hillary, the key to the costume is more the pantsuit and the hair, right?
Yeah.
Whereas with Trump, the Trump suit. I mean, the hair.
I think the Trump suit and the hair does it. I think that's all.
I mean,
you
but
need.
The suit is just a pretty. I mean, I guess it's kind of similar. Well, I guess the other thing is that Trump has that insane face that has that bizarre color scheme to it. I mean, I wouldn't buy a Trump mask if I was going as Trump. I would get the wig and paint my face orange, and everyone's going to get it.
Yeah. Yeah, and put on a suit. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you could do the same thing.
I guess that's true. No.
What it brought up for me is last year, a friend of mine, mm-hmm. and it actually went viral. Her picture actually went viral. She went as a woman being molested by creepy Joe Biden. And basically what she did was she got a dummy and wrapped his arms around her and then like wore the dress. So there was that real famous photo of him like coming up behind a woman.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. And so he put, she got her dress and like her wig and dressed up like her and then got a dummy behind her. And she said, I cannot find a Joe Biden mask.
Oh.
And I said, well, that's just ridiculous. You obviously have no idea where to look. And I spent the better part of a day trying to prove her wrong. And I'll be danged if I could not. I think I actually went to like a mask distributor and bawled them out and said, why the heck don't you have a Joe Biden mask?
But how many people are going to buy a vice president mask?
It's Joe Biden.
I think this might be a little bit of your own. I don't mean your political bias in terms of your party. I mean your interest in politics bias. I don't think nearly as many people are as excited about Joe.
They had Al Gore masks.
They had Al Gore masks when he was the Veep or when Clinton when he was running for president.
I do not know. I just know that they're still on the shelves.
There's no Tim Kaine mask.
They're still available. That's true.
You know.
Well, talk to me. You know, there's a lot of Mitch Daniels. No, not Mitch Daniels. Oh man,
McConnell?
Why can't it? No, why can't I say his name? Why is his name? What's Trump's running mate? For God's sake,
Mike Pence.
Mike Pence.
They have Pence masks.
No, but it pretty much any mask.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think Trump is in a weird way just kind of the outlier here. I mean, but here's the other thing is that Trump is.
Oh wait, I got to repeat that because you didn't even get the joke. Pretty much any mask is going to look like Mike Pence.
Oh, all right, I got you. It's funny. I was thinking like if you wore a Mike Pence mask, people are like, what the hell's that? Why are you just dressed as another white guy?
Are you going as G.I. Joe? What was the G.I. Joe with the white hair? He looks just like him.
Yeah, he does. He looks like Pence looks like a guy who plays an upper tier army official in a Michael Bay action movie,
or Reese Bannon.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Johnny Quest.
Yep.
He totally looks like he totally looks like a puppet from the Thunderbirds.
Puppet from the Thunderbirds. A lot of hot puppet talk today. I dig it. If you were gonna dress up. This year, I'm not going to dress up this year because I'm going to see how many kids come to the door. I'm kind of doing I'm trick or treating. You know, I'm on the other side of it. I'm going to get the bowl of candy and I'm carving the pumpkins and getting the lights and you know we're going to do all that. But there's a Vikings game on, so I got to stay home and keep the Vikings game on while I do it, which is a bit of a bummer. But if there's enough kids that come to the door next year, I'm going to dress up. If you were going to dress up this year, what would you dress up as?
You know, I haven't dressed up in so long. I have no idea. It never even occurred to me. I need to get a costume. I find it somewhat childish.
I really do enjoy the dressing up. I gotta say, I used to always go to parties.
No, that's fine.
And do it.
I know a lot of people do. A lot of people do. I don't.
But like, if I dressed up as a trick-or-treaters, I would probably just go like vampire, werewolf, something kind of. I'm not gonna try to do like some cerebral dead celebrity. That's what I used to always find an interesting dead celebrity.
You always went for the irony. Always went for the gag.
There was always a gag involved. Yeah. I was Steve Irwin the year he died and had a stingray barb sticking out of my chest. And a buddy of mine went as an old prospector, but then he just kept trying to pay the waitresses in like these spray painted gold rocks. He did it all night long, and they just got more and more annoyed by it.
That's actually funny.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, my buddy Chris Reimer, and he had my favorite costume of all time. He went as a syphilitic dandy, and he did all this research on like Lord Byron and the guy. Oh, the famous libertine. I forget the guy's name. There's a really famous libertine. If you Google the libertine, the movie was based on him. But he was it Lord Archibald Fundlebottom? And he just sort of walked in and was like, oh, my syphilis is acting up. I need a tincture of mercury. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen, and he just did it all night. It was literally like watching someone do an improv comedy show for 5 hours.
Well,
if you need a hot costume, syphilitic dandy, underrated.
And if you need another segment, I'm sorry. You have to wait till next week.
Yes, fresh out. You have to trick or treat him next week.
All the episodes are on iTunes,
yep.
TimSlegel.com,
BrianMillerComedy.com, and you can check me out at Real Brian Miller with a Y. Anything to plug coming up?
No.
Well,
oh gosh.
We do?
Yeah.
We're doing a show together in 2 weeks.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I forgot about that. We got the Acme Anniversary Show on November 5th, 6th.
Yes, November
6th. I'm just a mess today.
Yeah.
It's November 6th, but it doesn't really matter because it's sold out. So
I think
if you don't have tickets.
A ticket or two might still come available depending on if a couple people don't claim theirs.
Huh.
So super fans might be able to grab a ticket or two. And then I'm going to be doing Doug Loves Movies at Acme the day before. So.
Wow.
Actually,
I'm going to be headlining Acme the whole week after.
Yes. So
it's a big Brian Miller, Tim Slegel week in Minnesota coming up first week of November.
Rule of 3 week. Oh, you should come to the radio show with me, too.
Okay.
That'll be
fun. See you then.
Cool. See you guys next week.